The Meshech Chochma is a very interesting insight into this whole parsha here. He claims, let me tell you first what the problem is more. You see, when Paroi decides that he wants Yosef because he is Ruach Elohim, right? So already it was observed, why does he want a man who is Ruach Elohim, right? I mean, he probably believes in many gods. I mean, why should he believe that only the man that has Ruach Elohim, to the point Chazal say here in Posuk Lamed Chet, Vayomer Paro El Avodot. Paro turns to all his servants and he says, can we find a man that has such a Ruach Elohim? Now, why does he want a man that has a Ruach Elohim? He doesn't know how smart, how capable Yosef is. Why should he need Ruach Elohim? Now, you know that Elohim is Din. Din, right? Yud Kei Vav Kei is Rachamim, Elohim is Din. So, the Meshech Chochmo says that part of what's going on in this whole parsha is a Din, it's a judgment against the chaotic system of justice in Egypt at the time. Now, how do we know that the system of justice was chaotic? If we just go through what Yosef personally experiences. The wife of Potiphar accuses him of raping her. So therefore what? I mean, don't you have rights to defend yourself? Right? No. Because her husband is a minister, and if the minister decides that one of his servants should go to jail, he goes to jail. And he decided to kill him, he would have killed him also. We mentioned that he really believed Yosef, so he was nice enough not to kill Yosef. What a chaotic system of justice. And Paro himself? I mean, he decides that the Sar HaMashkim should be pardoned and the Sar HaOifim should be killed. It's decisions without any basis in justice. Nothing, absolutely. We see that the system is that things are controlled by the desire of the superiors. If I am superior to you, right? If I'm the king and you are the minister, I can do to you whatever I want. If I'm the minister and you are my servant, I can do to you whatever I want. Meaning it's absolutely there is no justice. Part of what Paro is telling, what the dream is telling Paro, according to the Meshech Chochmo, is that there is incredible injustice that's going on, and therefore he sees the eventual drought, the eventual hunger in Egypt, as a punishment because of the din, because of God's din. Therefore, the man in charge of the whole system has to be a man of Elohim. In other words, a man who will fulfill the just, real justice. And real justice is Elohim. Meaning, Asher Ruach Elohim means the man who knows absolute justice. In other words, let me just clarify this idea of the Meshech Chochmo. This is absolutely clear that any other religious system, right, besides monotheism, is not associated with any concept of justice. You have to realize that if you believe in the God of rain, so the idea of your relationship with the God of rain is, what can I do so the God of rain should give me rain? If I have to kill, if I have to sacrifice children in order for the God of rain to give me rain, of course I'll do it. Meaning, there is no concept in my relationship with the God of rain of good and evil. It's a concept of what works and what doesn't work. This has to be absolutely clear, that in idolatry, there is no concept of good and evil associated with my relationship with the idol. It's what works. This is why really, avodah zarah is not really a relationship. It's what works for me. Meaning, I'll bow down to the God of rain because it gives me rain. It's not an entity that I really want to relate to, that I love. It's an entity that will help me. Okay? Only monotheism, only Elohim is a God that the only way to serve Him is through good and keeping away from evil. That was the revolutionary part of monotheism. Okay? That Paro is aware of, that justice as a way of life is only associated with Elohim. Therefore, Isha Sheruach Elohim Bo, says the Meshech Chochmo, is associated with justice, which Elohim is justice. So the only one who can uproot the tremendous chaos in the justice system, in the judicial system in Egypt, is only a man like Yosef. And that answers also, according to the Meshech Chochmo, really, that Yosef should have been just a finance minister. That's all. I mean, what's his job? To make sure that everybody works for him, to gather the grain, and keep it until 7 years from now. That's all. So, if you want to give him a ministry, make him finance minister, economics minister, give him a name and that's all. How does Yosef become number one outside of Pharaoh, who doesn't even mix in what's going on? And he says clearly, I won't even mix in. You run the country. Why should he run the country if all he has to do is take care of the grain? It doesn't make any sense. According to the Meshech Chochmo, it makes a lot of sense. Because according to the Meshech Chochmo, what's going on behind the main theme of the dream of Paro, there is a whole change in the justice system of Egypt. Right? This is why he needs Yosef to really run the whole country. Which means the grain is just one little part of it. But the real purpose of Paro is not the grain. The real purpose of Paro is to uproot the tremendous chaos in the justice part of Egypt that's causing the problems. Okay? This is why Yosef goes up so much in the position of Paro. Okay? This is what is answered according to the Meshech Chochmo.
Why does Pharaoh all of a sudden care about justice?
Because he is afraid that he's going to be punished. Meaning he sees the 7 bad years, right, as just the beginning of the punishment for that terrible lack of justice.
I don't see the connection. Why should he even be so... Why is he suddenly so in tune to God's punishment that he sees that this is a punishment for... And Joseph has not told him in any clear way, certainly in Pshat, that this is for your lack of justice. He's just told you that, you know, there's going to be 7 lean years and 7 bad years. Maybe it's going to be outside of Teva, true, but he didn't tell him what the punishment was for. The Navi didn't come and say, you know, the sore on your lip is for Lashon Hara here. He just said, you know, you got a problem coming up and it's not natural, but he hasn't... Where did power come to make this deduction?
Yeah, I mean, let me tell you. The Meshech Chochmo addresses this problem and he said, well, he starts with this, but there is one thing that the Meshech Chochmo doesn't talk about. He says that the idea of the cows, right, the poro...
This is not what he talks about.
Right?
Who talks?
This is what Meshech Chochmo says. That the idea of the poro, the poro is the cows that come out of the Nile, right, that look so good, right? That represents the people. You know that always in the Torah, the animal is the representative of the people. Odomu behemo, in Arabic, meaning God wants to ask Avram to sacrifice Yitzchok, so you sacrifice an animal instead. Meaning, the animals come out, the porois come out of the Nile, right, of the Yo'er, of the river, right, and they are good and healthy, but they are going to be consumed. Who are these porois? This healthy poros, the healthy cows are the people who are having a great time in Egypt today. Who are they? You know, the upper echelons of the social system. The ministers, right, the bosses. Those are the fat cows, right? But according to the Meshech Chochmo, that is the meaning of the fat cows, right?
Good expression.
What?
It's an expression today.
But the expression is not coincidental, right? Meaning, that is what it means. That's all you are. All you do is you eat, you drink, you have a good time. But when the next 7 years are going to come, those fat cows are going to be destroyed. Right? He sees a danger to the whole system. Unless we do something about it. That's the way the Meshech Chochmo sees it. The only one gap that I didn't see in the Meshech Chochmo is how come Yosef doesn't say it? Meaning, according to the Meshech Chochmo, that the fat cows represents the people who are getting fat from the system, right? And this is what Paro realizes, that the fat cows are going to be swallowed, right? So therefore we have to change the justice system. That's why Yosef has to control everything, right? How come Yosef doesn't mention that?
He doesn't want to be too direct. Like,
what?
Like the other Indian, he didn't want to be too direct, but he wanted himself appointed.
He hints
okay.
to it.
What?
He hints to it.
Where? Where is it hinted? I mean,
well,
so, okay.
At the end of his dream, he hints that you should put somebody over, he doesn't say, he says over everything. He doesn't say what, though.
All right. That's okay. So the Meshech Chochmo doesn't address it, but I was thinking that really, that the dream itself, once he tells him, right, that the bad years are going to come and they are going to uproot the seven cows. That's all he has to say. Paro is not dumb, he'll realize it. Or what you say is also acceptable. Meaning, when he tells him you have to put out chochom venovoin. Now, how much chochmo and bino, how intelligent, what should be your IQ level in order to be able to gather grain? I mean, you don't have to be a genius to make a command. Everybody should give me all the grain, right, and I'll put it in warehouses. How smart do you have to be? Right?
You don't have to be too smart.
You don't have to be too smart, right? So why does Yosef keep saying, Ish novoin vechochom, I mean, a genius, a tremendous... What do you need a genius for? Obviously, he's not just talking about gathering grain. He is talking about changing the system in Mitzrayim. That's the idea. That's really the idea behind it.
Doesn't fit with the shot you said yesterday.
Right. Right. Right.
Shot.
That's a different shot. This is a different shot.
B, that he has to hint, and why he doesn't say it specifically, is that all of Pharaoh's ministers are standing around.
So he
and
couldn't
if he openly...
Says openly
say it, it's a threat to them.
Well, the truth of the matter is, they saw it as a threat to them. Even so, they saw it as a threat to them. Right? To the point, as we are coming to the next point, we are going to see right away how did the ministers react. Right? So first of all, it from Posuk Lametes on, Lametet Shlishi. Vayomer Paro El Yosef, Acharei Hodi Elokim Oscho Eskol Zos. Since God told you and nobody else, it's as if God himself chose you. So therefore, why should we look for anybody else? The fact that God chose you to interpret the dream, that's a sign that God chose you to run his affairs in Egypt. Therefore, Posuk Mem, listen carefully. What is the assignment of Yosef according to Posuk 40? Ato tiye al besi. You will be in charge of what? The palace. Finished. Outside of the palace, you are nobody. In the palace, you run the affairs. But, nobody will know it, but since you run the palace, indirectly you run everything that's going on. Ve'al picho, according to your command, yisha kol ami. Everybody will follow what you say, but indirectly. So why does it say, atoti al beisi? That you will be in charge of the palace. If he's making him in charge of the country, why is he making him in charge of the palace? So let me force him saying, officially your job is in the palace and nothing else. Nobody knows your real position. Officially you are al-Beisi, period. Indirectly, I will listen to you. Right? Rak ha-kisei, but you should know that in the palace, the system is the old system. What is the old system? What I say is the final law. Okay? Where does it say that? Rak hakisei egdal mimeko, just the throne will be on top of you. In other words, you can uproot the whole system of Egypt, except one part of the system, the last part. That last part, I'm still boss, and what I say goes, whether it's just or not just. Pasuk 41. Vayomer Paro el Yosef. Re'eino sat yoischo al kol eretz Mitzrayim. What do you mean, al kol eretz Mitzrayim? He just told them, you're just on the palace. So many Meforshim see the Pasuk 41, the new Vayomer Paro, as Paro changing his mind. And Pasuk 42 is an even stronger change of mind. Pasuk 42, Vayosar Paro Estabatoi. And Paro actually takes off his ring. Me'al Yodoi. Now, what does the ring represent? The ring represents the final decision making. In other words, because all decrees in Egypt, like in many other countries, had to be sealed with the seal of the king, and usually the seal used to be on the ring, right? So by Paro giving him his ring, he's saying more. Before in Pasuk 40, what did it say? That the final decision maker is who? Paro. What is it telling him now? You don't even have to ask me, I'm giving you the ring. That is considered, according to the Meforshim, a change in the mind of Paro, and he is even giving in to being not even the final decision maker. Vayalbeisho so big day sheish. Remember, in Pasuk 40 we said, but nobody should know it. We will make a personal arrangement. In the palace you'll run everything and that's all. By giving him special clothing, garments, what does that show? His willingness that even the people should know his real position. You hear how much he gives in. Vayosem revit azov al tzavoroi, with a special gold, whatever it was, around his neck, right? And vayarke voisoi bemerkeves amishne.
Air Force 2.
Right, that's how you call it. The Air Force 2, merkeves amishne, the number 2 chariot. Right? There was only a one. He created a new one, a new chariot, like you call it, the Air Force 2 chariot. Vayikru lefonov avreich, and that is the biggest sign of power, the announcing that the king is coming along, right? Remember, like Homon, right, that he had some, that the king said, what is the honor of being like the king, that somebody should announce whenever, wherever you go? That is what he gives Yosef. In other words, he makes Yosef the obvious number one. You know, it's on the surface, really. He's on top, and he's number two, but he even gave him the ring. Venosono so al kol eretz Mitzrayim. And now he's really the boss of the whole Egypt. According to the Meshech Chochmo, it really, you get a new insight into it, because on the surface it doesn't make sense why gathering grain makes you the boss of Mitzrayim. So you can say, because when you control the finances, you are really controlling everything. I mean, according to the Meshech Chochmo, it gives you a new insight. We are not just talking about gathering grain. That was just one part of it. We are talking about changing the justice system in Mitzrayim. Vayomer Paroi, listen to Pasuk 44, and the whole tone of Pasuk 44 clarifies exactly what Paro is really deciding. El Yosef, Ani Paro, it's true, I'm Paro. But ubilodecho, without you, lo yorim ishes yodoi v'sragloi v'chol et Mitzrayim. Without you, without your permission, nobody can move his hand. His hand means he can't do anything. Vesraglo, and he can't go anywhere. Bechol eretz Mitzrayim. So it's not just changing the justice system. Changing everything. Nobody can move. Nobody can raise his hand without it being okay with you. You hear the incredible thing? I mean, the Gemara says later on, when they come to Paro And they say during the 7 lean years, and they said, but we don't have any more food. So the king says, go to Yosef. So they come to Yosef, and Yosef says, okay, you want more food? Okay, circumcise yourself. So they come back to Pharaoh and say, what? We have to circumcise ourselves? So Pharaoh says, what can I do? He says so. You hear to what degree? I mean, it comes to the point that Pharaoh is just a figurehead. That's all. The real number one was Yosef. Right? Obviously, there is something that he sees Pharaoh that it's necessary for the survival of Egypt. That there has to be a complete change in the system. Yosef has to run the country. Chazal say, I didn't have the Torah. Somebody has the Torah Tmimo here? Nobody has the Torah Tmimo. The Torah Tmimo, no, but if you've seen the Torah Tmimo, it brings out, I just don't remember where he quotes it from. The Torah Tmimo brings down, on this Pasuk 44, the Torah Tmimo brings down a Chazal, and the Chazal says like this. When the ministers heard, "Ubiladecho lo yorim ish es yodoi," that without your agreement nobody can do anything, they said to him, "How can you accept Yosef as the king? He doesn't even know how to speak 70 languages." So that night came the angel Gabriel, came the Malach Gabriel.
Midrash.
He brings it out of Midrash. Chazal. I don't remember if he brings it out. I even think it's a Talmud Bavli. But for sure it's in the Yalkut Shimoni here on the spot too. But the one where I saw it from in the Torah Tmimo. It says, came the Malach Gabriel and taught him 70 languages in that night. So therefore he was able to reign. He was able to be king. Now, interesting. The Chazal darshanit un ubilodecho lo yorim ishes yodoi. In other words, the moment Paro says ubilodecho, besides you, outside of you, or without your agreement, nobody can move his hand or foot. At this point, he's becoming actually a king. Paro is only a figurehead, and the real power lies in the hands of Yosef. And according to the statutes of Egypt, in order to be king, you have to know 70 languages, and that's why he's forced to learn 70 languages. But now let me tell you a little bit, an insight into the Chazal itself. The simple interpretation of Chazal is that he didn't know any other language besides Lashon Kodesh. Because according to our tradition, there are 70 languages besides the holy language. Like there are 70 nations besides the chosen nation. Now, if you take this statement literally, that Yosef didn't know any of the 70 languages, it means that he didn't know any Egyptian. He didn't know how to speak Egyptian, right? Egyptian is one of the 70 languages. Now, is it possible to say that Yosef didn't know how to speak Egyptian? Impossible. You can't accept such a theory. Impossible. How did he speak by Potiphar? He was the head of the household of Potiphar. He ran the household of a minister. Potiphar was a minister, right? Without knowing the language. How did he speak to the prisoners in the jail? Of course he knew Egyptian. What does it mean he doesn't know any of the 70 languages? And what does it mean? It's interesting. You know what Gabriel represents? Gabriel is associated with what?
Strength.
Really, the teaching angel is not Gabriel at all. You know who is the teaching angel? You know, we say in the Kriyat Shema, She'al HaMitah, you know, there's a whole thing that we say right before we go to sleep. So there's a statement that we say that says like this, B'Shem Hashem Elokei Israel, in the name of God, I beg of you that angels should accompany me. Which angels? To my right hand side, the angel that accompanies me should be Michoel. Mimini Michoel. Remember that in the song? Umismoli, at my left, I should be accompanied by Gabriel. Umilfonai, and in front of me, I should be led by Uriel. Umeachorai, and behind me, should be Raphael. And God should be above. Now, what is the idea behind it? Michoel, the name tells you what it represents, the power of Michoel. Mikakel, right? Who is like God? Michomocho boelokim Hashem. Which means it's an expression of faith, belief, right? That is the greatest strength of the Jewish people. Michoel represents the strength of faith. Michoel, who is like God? Faith. That's why it's on the right side. You know that on the right side is always a more honorable position than the left side. Did you ever hear that? That the right side, right, is more respectable than the left side. So Michoel is on the right side. The left side, is Gabriel. What does it mean? Gevura. Strength. In front you have Uriel. What does Ur mean? Chag Ha'urim. What's Chag Ha'urim?
Light.
Hanukkah is called Chag, they call him Chag Ha'urim, the holiday of the lights. Ur is light. Uriel is the light. That's why it's up front, because the light is to show you the way. Uriel, it shows you the way. Torah is light, because it teaches you. Raphael comes from what? To heal. He's behind you. Why? Because sicknesses are always traitors. They always attack you without your being prepared. That's why they are behind you, behind your back. That's why the Malach Raphael, where should he be? Behind you, where you can't see, because sicknesses attack you in such a way. Okay? So therefore, who is the teaching angel? Uriel. Okay. All right. But what is the relation between Gabriel, right, and teaching the 70 languages? Right. The idea is the following. When we talk about a language, we don't mean just being able to speak this particular language. We believe that the Loshon, language, is the deepest expression of a culture. In other words, Loshon Kodesh, the holy language, is not just a language. It's holy not because the language is holy, because it's spoken by holy people. Right? It's a Loshon Kodesh. It expresses the essence of the holy people. That's why it becomes Loshon Kodesh. So the language expresses the essence of the culture. You can tell many times, you can tell a lot, even if you don't understand a word about a culture. Right? Sometimes you can hear the sound of a language and you can tell a lot about it. Right? I mean, German, you hear a certain sound in German that's very closely associated with the nature of the Germans. That's not a coincidence. There's much more that can be said about it. And of course, the expressions that it uses, right? Your Loshon Kodesh doesn't have dirty words. Did you know that? There are no real dirty words in Loshon Kodesh. It has to be borrowed from other languages. Because it can't, it's not Kedusha. It doesn't express the essence of the Kedusha. Knowing 70 languages doesn't mean knowing how to speak those languages, but to feel at home in those languages. If you can't feel at home in the world of the 70 languages, you can't rule Egypt. You have to have contact with other people. We have to have contact with other kings. You have to be part of the culture. You can't come from a strange culture and speak the language. Even if you speak it, it'll be artificial. Right? Now, the reason why Yosef can't really learn those languages, not how to speak them, is because he's afraid. Because once you start really speaking a certain language, but speaking it in a way that it should express your essence, you become part of that culture. And your real culture, your culture that you came from, is completely forgotten. He's afraid. He doesn't want to learn any language. So what does he need in order to survive as a Jew and still learn a language? He needs strength. That's why it's Gabriel. So that's what it means Gabriel taught him the language. It doesn't mean that Gabriel actually taught him the Egyptian or other languages. It means Gabriel gave him the strength to be able to be part of that culture, to be, in a way, one of them without affecting his essence. Yosef remains the hidden tzaddik, even though he speaks to them and he shares the table with them and he talks to them and he's part of their society without essentially ever being part of his society. But that was hidden. That's what it means, Chazal, when it says to know 70 languages. That he can on the surface be part of those 70 languages and it doesn't affect his essence. He remains Yosef HaTzadik. Yeah.
So why the switch on Pharaoh's part? In other words, why from the inside and then all of a sudden he gets everything?
Okay, so on that, there are different theories in the Mefarshim. Why sudden change of mind of Pharaoh? So according to some Mefarshim, it's Yosef, right, that's telling Pharaoh, yes, but that's not enough. And Pharaoh says, okay, so I'll make you even more. So Yosef says, yes, but that's not enough. Because in such a way you can't change the whole system until finally, right, Yosef finally convinces Pharaoh to go along, and then at the end it's the ministers who fight it, right? That's why it says in Posuk Memdale, that in Posuk Memdale, that's already the end. The minister says, no, but we can't accept him. How can you make him so important? He doesn't know the 70 languages. Which means that Yosef is pushing to get more power, otherwise he can't do his job. Okay? So that's one pshat. And then there are other pshatim. There is even, they bring down B'Shem HaZohar, that there was a malach. Like every time Pharaoh would say something, there was a malach would push him and say, no, 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 that's not enough, right? And then he would say, okay, so I'll give him even more power. And then the malach would say, oh no, that's not enough. And that's a pshat in the posuk. There is a posuk in Tehillim. Eidus b'Yehosef. The name of Yosef was changed. When? At this point. The name of Yosef is changed and it became Yehosef. Did you know that? The name of Yosef, like Avram Avinu went from Avram to Avraham, the name of Yosef changed from Yosef to Yehosef. We say it every Thursday morning. It's in the special chapter of the Tehillim, Hayom Yom Chamishi B'Shabbos, every Thursday morning, pay attention. The Pasuk says, do you have the sitter over there? Eidus b'Yehosef somo. Right, towards the end of Shacharis.
Thursday.
It is? Oh, that's it. Eidus b'Yehosef somo. Say Chazal, Yehosef. That is Yosef with a hey added to it. So now the yud and the A together make up the name of God. Betzeisoy al Eretz Mitzrayim, when he went out and he became the controller al Eretz Mitzrayim, what was the problem? Sefas, what sefas mean? Language. Lo yodati, he said lo yodati, I don't know the language. Eshmo, so he was able to learn the language. Do you hear how the Chazal Darshan of the Pasuk? It's all here in Tehillim Pei Aleph. Psalms 81.
The change of name so that he can learn the language.
Why? What's the idea? What is the change of name?
It changes the destiny of the person. The
exactly. The nature of the person. What does it do to the person when the hay is added to him? And as he becomes, right, Yud-Kei, he becomes like the name of God becomes part of him at this point. He becomes the same way that Avraham Avinu with the extra hay, he became a complete servant of God. The extra hay, Avraham, Av Amon Goyim, at this point when he's added, when the extra hay is added, then he's completely becoming an instrument of God's will. At this point, Yosef becomes the complete instrument of God's will, Yehosef. Right? At which point? When he learns the languages. Sfas lo yodati eshmo. How? When was that? Betzeisoy, when he went out, al Eretz Mitzrayim. He's on top of the land of Egypt. So this pasuk in Tehillim really tells you the whole story through hints.
Why isn't that change of name mentioned in the Torah like with Abraham and everybody else? As opposed to showing his new Egyptian name. Which is
so I'll tell you what the Mefarshim say on this. Because Avramovinu's name of God was obvious. Yosef's name of God was completely hidden. It was on the surface, you couldn't tell the name of God. That is why in the Torah itself is never called Yehosef. The Torah keeps it a secret, not because the Torah doesn't want you to know. Because it's the essence of the change of Yosef was in the depth of Yosef, not on the surface. Just the opposite. If you would see Yosef on the surface, you would say, he's a Gentile like all other Gentiles. Right? He talks like them. Right? He jokes like them. I mean, he's one of them. Where is the Yosef at Tzaddik? In the Yisod. In the Yisod. In the essence. By the way, you know in the 10 rungs, in the spheros, you know the spheros? You know that we believe, according to the Balei Kabbalah, there are 10 spheros, 10 spheres, 10 rungs. Did you ever hear that? Anyway, without going into what they represent, but according to our tradition, the lower 7 rungs, the lower 7 spheres, have human representatives of those spheres. For instance, let me tell you the last 7. Chesed, Gevuro, Tiferes. If you ever seen the pictures, there is like a picture in the Balei Kabbalah, the triangle, the reverse triangle. Chesed, Gevuro, Tiferes. Then you have the triangle opening up again. Netzach, Od. Then it closes again and it becomes Yesod, and then it goes down till Malchus. Never saw that it's one of the most meaningful Kabbalistic symbols.
Is that the 49 days of the Omer, we say that? Chesed.
Exactly. The 49 days of the Omer, right, are 7 combinations of 7, right? So if you take, also seen Sfiras Omer, Chesed Shebechesed, the first day. Chesed Shebe Gvuro, Chesed Shebe Tiferes, Chesed Shebe Malchus. Then it's the second one, Gvuro Shebe Chesed, right? It's the 7 times 7, which is 49 days of the Omer. Right? It's one of the most important symbols in the Kabbalah, is that. So, why am I telling you this? Because the one before the last, the number 9 sphero, is called Yesod. The word Yesod, you know what it means in Hebrew? Something, the fundament of something, the essence of something. You know who is that? Chesed is Avram, Gvura is Yitzchok, Tiferes is Yaakov, Netzach is Moshe, Od is Aaron, Yesod is Yosef, and Malchus, the last one, is David HaMelech. Yesod, the word Yesod means what is the essence, the fundament, something that you can't see. Like the base, the fundament of the house, for instance. You can't see, but without it, the whole thing would collapse. The essence of Yosef is Yosef HaTzadik. But it's just the essence. On the surface, you can't tell. Remember, Yosef represents the capacity of the Jew of surviving while blending into the background. He blends, but he survives because his essence, the Yesod, is Yosef HaTzadik. This is why in the Torah, Yehosef, the Hay, is not mentioned. But in Kabbalah, his name is really Yehosef, like Avraham Avinu's name is Abraham. Okay?
Yeah. I was going to mention that without this last shot, at least on the surface, it appears that he's getting more and more cut up in power. He's getting the clothing of a Gentile.
Everything.
You know, the symbols of power, because even a Gentile name, all of those things are really not Asher, but you shouldn't do, right?
Of course. The point, let me just tell you the last thing. I mean, you may agree or disagree. I mean, we are too close to be able to judge whether he was right or not. But I spoke to you about Rabbi Cook, the first Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Israel. He had tremendous Kabbalistic knowledge and insight. Of course, he had a certain political point of view. So some people can disagree, but it doesn't matter. His insight is still an insight. Somebody asks him, how can it be that the, according to him, the Zionist movement is the beginning of the redemption? Right. As a matter of fact, in the Nusach that he did, I think he's the one who made it up. For the blessing for the state of Israel, it says Reishis Tzemichas Gulaseinu, the beginning of the redemption. And other rabbis were against it. How can you call a secular state the beginning of Jewish redemption? So he said that it's essential for the Geula to start through people who act and talk, and everything they do is like Gentiles. Why? Because you remember, we mentioned the Gemara in Sukkah says that there are two parts to Geula. There is a Geula of Moshiach ben Yosef, and there is a Geula of Moshiach ben David. The Gemara talks about it. According to Rav Kook, the Zionist movement was part of the Moshiach ben Yosef redemption, the physical redemption of the Jew. Therefore, he says, it has to come out through people who look and talk and act like Gentiles, because that's part of the Mashiach ben Yosef Geula, he says. So he's not surprised that it's a secular movement, because secularity is part of how Yosef acted on the surface. It's whether you agree or disagree, it's the insight, it's so good. In other words, the essence of Yosef is tzaddik, but the surface of Yosef is like Gentiles, right? It's a Jew who acts like a Gentile. Isn't that the Zionist movement used to say? Right?
So when do we know the second part's coming?
Okay, fine. That's already a political point. Are we moving towards it? But the insight is a correct insight. Meaning, it's not surprising, because Yosef is the first part of the Geula. Oh, yeah.
Is because Yosef is, at least externally, more assimilated, that he's able to marry an Egyptian woman, whereas Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov couldn't. They had to marry women from Ur Kasdim. I mean,
well,
why didn't he, being the third or the fourth on the chain, why didn't he have to marry a girl from the descendants of his fathers? I mean, here you could say that an Egyptian woman is as evil as a Canaanite woman, where we said that.
Not really. And number two, we believe that This girl, by the way, was his perfect zivug. You know, very few people are zoche, married the perfect zivug. She is the one. As a matter of fact, Chazal say, incredible thing, that the reason why Potiphar's wife went after Yosef is because she had an intuition that she and Yosef have to join together. And she was right, except not by her daughter. Many times that becomes mixed up, by the way. It's a very important concept that zivugim sometimes aren't clear whether it's this generation or the next. We find it by Leo and Dino concerning Esau. There is always an affinity between two generations. So, therefore, she made the mistake, because really there was something that pulled her towards Yosef. So you see that it was a perfect zivug. So therefore, we have to assume that the daughter of Potiphar became Jewish. You know, becoming Jewish meant accepting monotheism and accepting to become part of Avraham Avinu's family. That's all it meant, becoming Jewish.
But we said that a girl with the right characteristics, even if she had the wrong ideology, was better than the girl with the right ideology.
Why should we assume she didn't have the right characteristics?
Not that she didn't, but that girls from that area, from the family, perhaps.
I don't know. The stress was just not now. Okay.
So that's why he gathered together all the Anshei Mishnah. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. Okay. Vayhi ba'erev, vayikach ha'shlei ha'bito, vayoveh yisayilo, vayoveh yalecho. The Medrash says over here that Lavan went through a whole way of disguising it, turned out the lights, he got everybody in the city to be behind him. He told the people in the city, listen, Yaakov's getting married right now, and he's going to leave town, right? He's going to leave with Rachel. Don't you know that since Yaakov has been here for 7 years, the town's been blessed, everything's been blessed, and it's in the schutz of Yaakov. Don't you want Yaakov to stay a little longer?
That's how he got everybody to be quiet. And therefore, and Chazal tell us over here,
be quiet,
not to reveal Yaakov what was happening. It was in the morning and it was Leah. Whenever it says Vihine, Vihine means something that was not there before. Like we spoke about yesterday in the Chalom, in the dream. It says Vihine. Every single time. Vihine, the Sulam was Mutzav Arts of Rosh HaMagir V'Shamayim, then Vihine Malach Elokim Olam V'Yordim Bo. Vihine means something new. In other words, he only realized that it was Leah in the morning and not at night. And from here we know, Chazal say, that Yaakov had made up certain signs with Rachel. He was afraid maybe Lavan was going to bring in Leah instead of Rachel, and therefore he had made up special signs, special messages between...